Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's kind of interesting that our gospel lesson today, we're going ahead into the future. It's only 2 days after Christmas, if my little sleep because of my 8-month-old son is allowing me to remember that much. He likes to open presents a bit too much and have a little bit too much fun. Can't imagine why. But it's only 2 days after Christmas. As the time of that celebration is still in the air, our decorations are still hung in our homes. And it's a time that we remember still all of the good, wonderful Christmas feelings. We jump ahead now, though, 10 days in the church year. 10 days being now where our story picks up, where Luke goes into his story of Christ's birth. Because it's all connected. His Christ's birth leading to this point is all one story. And so, 10 days after Christ is born in Bethlehem, his parents, Joseph and Mary, take him to Jerusalem. The thing is that Luke is getting to the heart and soul of what his story, his gospel, is going to be about. And it's coming up very quickly in his story. He wanted to make sure that from all of the accounts that he gathered together, that he meticulously interviewed people for, and he meticulously wrote down, he wanted to know right away to his readers what the point of his story was. And it is revealed in this section. This is part of the ceremonial law of the Jews. We might be a little confused by that in today's world because we really don't have ceremonial laws anymore. There, we have traditions that we can treat sometimes as those laws, that they have to be kept or you're going to make God so angry at you that you will incur his wrath. That's not true. Thankfully, we are saved by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his all-availing sacrifice. Back then, however, that these were laws that God made for his people Israel to set them apart from the whole world. So that when people saw the Israelites doing these ceremonial laws, they would see that they are God's people. Things such as ritualistic washings, so that they would be clean. They would not boil their meat in the animal's blood. They would make it so that after 10 days, when a male child is born, they would take him to the temple. And as the first child, they would be dedicated to God. And so the tradition goes, they would be circumcised. So, yes, today's lesson is about the circumcision of Jesus. A very happy Christmas present to him, I'm sure. But it is important because it establishes a very important pattern in Christ's life. These were the ceremonial laws that the people of Israel have been keeping for generations, thousands of hundreds of years. Ever since God gave it to Moses on the mountain of Sinai, ever since he brought those rules and they wrote them down in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and they're being fulfilled. The people of Israel were doing them, especially now. Oh my goodness, brothers and sisters in Christ, were the people of Israel doing those ceremonial laws at the time of Jesus' birth? They were making sure that they were the cleanest. They were making sure that every I was dotted in those ceremonial laws. Every T was crossed. They were scared, you see. They were scared because these laws they made, and they actually made more of them because they were so scared that they never wanted to fall out of favor with God again. And so they heap law after law after law upon the people of Israel. Some of them, God's. Most of them man's. This one that Christ was fulfilling was from God. Indeed, once again, he comes. Christ came to be the Savior of all people, and he became under the law, as Paul says. Born of a virgin, born of a woman, born under the law to complete the law. And in the ways, he became the law unto himself. For only God could accomplish what he set out to do, but only man could fulfill it as was his obligation. And so we have this beautiful story of how even when he was only 10 days old, Christ was coming and fulfilling the law of God. And this beautiful pageantry of this elder Simeon taking the little Christ child from his mother, which at 10 days, I don't know about you, but I would not want that happening. This stranger comes up to me in a temple and says, "Hey, can I just take your baby?" And then I sing to him. I'm going to be like, "No. I'm sorry, but no, I'm just going to hang on to him." But Mary and Joseph let this happen. And we have a beautiful song of rejoicing that this is Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed one, his chosen one. And then we get to the heart of the story. What Luke is setting up that he will see throughout the rest of his gospel. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This is what is going to happen in the story of Luke. Right here in the beginning of the gospel, Luke is making sure that we know just why Christ is here in the world and what him being in the world is going to look like through this prophet Simeon. Christ has come into this world. The world has never changed. The light of God is shining in the darkness. And this is what it's going to look like. He will be responsible for the rising of fall in many of Israel. He will be a sign that is opposed, one that will even pierce Mary's soul as well. And that many thoughts and deep-seated betrayals even will be brought to light. For where the light comes, no darkness can shine. When I was reading this week, I was reminded a little bit of our confirmation class. We have confirmation here that many of you watching at home, if you're my confirmant, yes, you still have to do your test, by the way. I'm watching for that. But I'm also reminded about what we all learned about the law. Specifically, it was drilled into our heads, at least mine was, that there are three ways that God's law is fulfilled, that God uses his law. There's a curb, a mirror, and a guide. And right here, Luke is explaining what this will be in Christ. When you think of then a curb, you think it almost like maybe a curb as you're driving down, going right away from church. As you're crossing down the road, a curb makes you stop usually. Because if you're approaching a curb, especially if you're coming downhill, you got to slow down a little bit. Else you're going to just go run right through and you're going to possibly get hit or hit someone else. Or maybe it's a curb as you're walking and it's meant there to slow you down, to turn you into a different direction, to get you to stop and reevaluate what you got to do. And this is the way that God uses his law. He has used it throughout time and time again. When his people Israel were doing so many horrible sins in the eyes of God in the Old Testament, God sent his prophets to remind people, stop what you're doing. And look to what the law says. If you continue doing this, you will fall. You will die. But fulfill the law, and God will raise you up. The curb is a way of us turning away from our sinful ways and to turn back toward God. And Jesus does this so many times throughout his ministry. You see this as he's going to people. He's teaching them the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plains. He's teaching people what God's law is and expanding on it as only and getting to the heart of it. Saying that, yes, do not murder someone, but I say unto you, if you think of any ill thoughts toward that person, you have already murdered them in your heart. He is laying down the law to get people to stop and to turn back to God. He is a sign, however, that is opposed, We see this very often in the gospel. Mostly we see this in John, where the antagonists, the chief priests and the Pharisees of the law that they themselves have made, go up in opposition against our Lord. But it's not just that. It's his own disciples where we see much of it too. A great point is when Christ reveals what he's going to do. The whole point of his ministry, the whole point of his birth, as Pastor Vern said, he revealed to his disciples that he was going to die, but in 3 days be raised from the dead. And then Peter rebuked him, brought him to the side, made him stop, and say to Jesus, "This is never going to happen to you." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. Stop. You have the things of man in mind and not of God." Jesus Christ came into this world to be born under the law, to fulfill the law, and also to show the law. Stop. He was opposed by that. He was brought to the cross because of that. But even more, he came as a mirror. A mirror reflects, shows us who we are. Even Simeon said, "So the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And truly, when Christ came into this world, he did this. He saw to the heart of the matter. He saw the suffering Gentiles, the suffering of so many people cast away in society, and saw their heart of pleading to God for forgiveness. But then he made other people look at him, look at themselves as well, and they didn't like what they saw. Luke records a young man coming to him. A young man who looked at himself and he thought, "I'm okay. I have kept all of the law." Jesus said, "Only God is good." And the man says, "I have kept all of God's laws." Jesus smiled and loved him, for Christ loves all people. And he said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have." And the man went away sad, for he had a great many possessions. The law comes into the world and reveals, Jesus reveals the hearts of men. And this one we see was not good, as all men's hearts are not. We even see here very sadly, Simeon gets to the heart of the issue of why Christ was being come into this world. He explains the heartache this will be. He'll be a sign opposed. Even Mary, his own mother, will weep bitter tears at his son's death, at her son's death. But even more, she would also try to get him to stop preaching, to take him back home, to be with his family. But she also didn't know, even after all of this, what God's true plan was. It's hard to hear these words even today, the curb, the mirror, and the guide. Because so often, this wonderful prophecy that Simeon has given, all too often we fall for it too. We see Jesus as a sign that is opposed. Within our own lives, we say, "I just wish I could do this one thing. I know I shouldn't do it, this sinful act." Maybe, I don't know what's in your heart, but you certainly do. And I can tell you within my own heart, there are actions that I don't want to do. I know the law of God, and yet I keep on doing the sin. Even when I know the punishment that God has, even though I see the curb approaching, I don't stop. And the evil I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And the good that I want to do, that is what I do not do. I go in, I see myself, and I look at myself in the mirror. And too often when I look at it, what do I see? I see a wretched being. One that is full of sin. It's hard. We see Christ, the perfect human being. We can't compare. How could we? He was keeping all of God's law. Even when it's a little child, 10 days old, he was doing it. And I can't even do it for an hour. And that's what's crushing about Christ coming too. For he reveals the darkness in the world and in ourselves. But this is also why Christ has come. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, whom he was going after because these Christians were doing many things not in the law of God. Having other Christians become more Jewish so they could become Christians. Putting law after law on them so that the heart was troubled and people wondered if they even were saved. But Paul cuts through that and says this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the wonderful, wonderful message of Christ coming into the world as well. That yes, Christ came into this world to fulfill the law, to show us the law, to guide us in the law, to reveal our sinful selves in this, and to plead to God for forgiveness. And the most wonderful, joyous thing is this, that it actually worked. That yes, we couldn't complete this law. Yes, God knew that we could never do this. So he sent his Son in our place, who kept all of the law since he was 10 days old. He was doing that. Right from the get-go of right when he was being born, God's plan was already in motion to save his people, to bring people back to him. Because through his Son, Jesus Christ, the entirety of how God is, of what God is, and how God wants us to live is revealed in his Son. All of his wrath was poured on his Son for the breaking of the law. He who kept it all took it all for us on the cross. And by rising again, God stamped the approval of that, saying that this is a worthy sacrifice. This is what it is now. That anyone who looks upon the sign of the cross, the sign that is a stumbling block for the Jew and complete foolishness to the Greek, that is the sign of salvation. This is the sign that will spread across the world and say, look to this and be saved. For my Son has fulfilled the law, has become one under the law for your sake and forgives you your sins. And even more, he gives his Spirit to us, the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, we still have the curb, the mirror, and the guide. But it looks radically different to a redeemed person for someone who lives in Christ as you and I do. As God calls us to call people to this understanding that, yes, the law tells us to stop. And we say yes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And through his working, we can stop and say to God, I am sorry. I turn around and I go a different direction toward you. We can look ourselves in the mirror and God looks at us too. And what God sees is not a dirty reflection, but he sees his Son, perfect and beautiful and wonderful, and sees us as his sons and daughters, clothed in a white robe, spotless of all blemish, and says, you are my heir. Come enjoy your master's favor. And so he uses also Christ as a guide, saying, "This is how my Son has done in the world. He went to people and offered them rest. He went to others and taught them about my words. He gave forgiveness to those who asked of it, who were in need of it. And he set aside his life for his friends. This you do as well, and I will help you, for I've sent my Spirit to guide you." Revealed in the wonderful salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Luke has given us the rest of the story of what Christ has come to do, what Christ has done for us, and what Christ will do for us forever and always. He is the one who brings us to God, who makes us spotless and clean in God's eyes, and who guides us in the ways to life everlasting. So now, as we end this year of 2020 and look ahead to 2021, let us remember of why Christ has come and the beauty of what he has done when he has been here, is here with us, and continues to do for us into the future. That he is there guiding us to the paths of righteousness, revealing us as God's sons to the eyes of God, and guiding us in the ways of peace. So let us go with Christ, and now and forevermore. Amen.